have your Bibles tonight. This is a tremendously powerful part of Scripture tonight for all of us, especially for those that are married. If you have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, you'll notice that the first part of the chapter, David brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Okay? Now, folks, you got to remember the Ark of the Covenant represented the God of heaven. It was his presence. Wherever that ark was, the presence of God was there. The blessing of God was there. They parked it at Obed-Edom's house, and God blessed him. In 3 months, he became a very wealthy man. God blessed him richly. So they wanted the presence of God near them. The presence of God is always good for us. Well, David is figured it all out. He's got the Kohathites carrying the ark. They're walking with the ark and offering offerings as they go. And so they get close to Jerusalem, and they come through the streets of Jerusalem. And if you've ever heard of a ticker tape parade, well, David had one of those. I mean, he was rejoicing, but he was leading the way. Notice if you have your Bible, in verse number 13, it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord and had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. So they're going and offering and going and offering. And then notice verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. This word dance means to go in a circle, to sort of praising the Lord, looking up, praising the Lord, jumping around. It is sort of like when somebody hits a home run and it wins the World Series, or they catch the final pass, they go jumping around, jumping up and down. And so that's what David was doing. Now, I want you to understand this. The Ark of the Covenant had been in Israel all the days of Saul, and he did nothing with it. Saul was an unspiritual man that didn't care about spiritual things. And so his family was unspiritual, all except for Jonathan. So if you were to take a family of 4, where the father's unspiritual, the mother is spiritual, it's been my experience, as I've watched as a youth pastor, 2 of them will do right, 2 of them won't. Sometimes it's 3-1, but there's always 1 or 2 of them that want to do after the mother. If you show me a family where both of them want to do what's right, then you have the possibility of all the children doing what's right. Doesn't mean it's always the case, because if the parents make mistakes and don't handle things right, it harms the family. But in this case, Michael, his daughter, has no spiritual interest. But she fell in love with David. And she loved David. Notice in the outline, the introduction. Michael was given to David as a snare. But she loved him. When Saul found out he was such a wicked man that he used his daughter to try to get David killed. He used his daughter to bring David down, to ruin his testimony before the people. He wanted his daughter to help him. Well, she helped David. Well, long story short, when David's running for his life, Saul kept his daughter back. They're married. They were married for a while, doesn't say how long, but he took his daughter back and she couldn't be married to David. He gave her to somebody else, Faltiel. He gave her to somebody else as a wife. Well, notice what happens. You can see David comes back into the city, becomes king. He said, I want my wife back. So he gets Michal back. But I want you to notice this. If you would, in verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Did you notice David danced before whom? The Lord. Now, there were people everywhere. The streets were lined. It's like a ticker tape parade. Everybody's excited. The presence of God is coming to Jerusalem. And David is leading the way. But he wasn't rejoicing. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm the king. Everybody, look at me. I'm rejoicing. Everybody, follow suit. David lost himself in the presence of the Lord. Notice, if you would, David danced before the Lord with all of his might. His whole heart was into worshiping and praising and thanking the Lord. It was in his heart, but it was strictly to the Lord. It was as though no one else was there. And folks, tonight, you and I need to learn to live in such a righteous manner that no one else is around. That's the way Daniel was. He did what was right, living in a foreign land, and he's the only Christian in the land, except for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that we know of, and yet he kept doing what's right when all the kings kept getting replaced. Daniel was the steady in all of it, and every time a king saw him and elevated him, wonder why he used you as a Hebrew to be in charge of the country. Oh, now I see. After you'd been king for a while, he said, I want you to be my prime minister, and it happened with every king. They all gained respect for him because of his pleasant spirit, joyful heart, as in integrity. Folks, tonight, we need that same thing. David had it at this point in time. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with sound of the trumpet. So there's people, you got the trumpets playing, people are shouting and praising the Lord, and David's leading the way, and David is, all of this rejoicing is before the Lord. Lord, thank you. You see none of this with Saul. Saul was an unspiritual man. Had very little spiritual interest until he needed something. Do you know who Saul rested on? Samuel. Samuel, would you talk to God for me? David didn't do that. He talked to God himself. Now listen very carefully. I want you people in this room to learn, people to come back to church, to learn to talk to the Lord yourself. Well, I'll do anything I can to help you. You call me, I'll help you. Make an appointment, we'll talk. I'll come by and visit with you. But I want you to learn to have a personal relationship, fellowship with the Lord Jesus, where you can talk to him about your needs and your burdens. That's what he wants. That's why he sent his son to die for us, is that each one of us could have a personal walk with him. It's not about the preachers only. It's about the individuals. Every one of you, every child, every adult, you can pray. Even a child is known by his doings, the proverb says. So your heart is known too. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 3, David made a big mistake in dealing with his wife. Now, I want you to notice, her name was Michal, M-I-C-H-A-L, that's the last blank of Roman numeral 3. Look at verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. You must underline before the Lord. David wasn't doing it to show off. He lost himself in the Lord. Notice, if you would, the whole country brought in the ark. Everybody is there. Notice, if you would, verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that's Jerusalem. So they brought the ark from Obed-Edom's house outside the city. Now it's working its way through the countryside. It's coming into the city. And notice, if you would, she looks out. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She could tell it was before God. She said, wow, he's really into it. He really does love the Lord. But notice this. Saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She didn't see the purpose for which he was rejoicing. She only saw the embarrassment to her because she is the king's daughter and the king's wife. And there's a certain decorum that goes with that position. And I can't believe my husband has forgotten the decorum required of a king. My dad would have never done that. So she's looking at David and comparing a spiritual man to an unspiritual one and made a terrible mistake. Now, folks, tonight, every one of us can have the wrong thoughts. But if you say it out like she did, you're going to wreck some things. And I want you to learn from this story tonight, chapter 6, verses 12 through the end of the chapter, verse 23. I want you to notice, if you would, both husband and wife do the wrong thing. Now, you don't have to be married. It can be two brothers or two sisters. You can do the wrong thing. And if one has a spiritual interest and one does not very much, there's going to be the wrong thing done. It depends on if the spiritual one is wise enough to say, I'm going to do what's right no matter what my brother does. Now, you can't make somebody else do what's right. Do you understand that? Jeanette cannot make Anna do what's right. Now, she can murder her if she doesn't. But she cannot make her because she has a will of her own. Everybody in this room, wise, you don't have to love and follow your husbands. Husbands, you don't have to love and care for your wives as a nurse cares for a patient. But that's what you're supposed to do. You can be disobedient. Everybody in this room can be. But you'll pay a price for it. And the price? An unjoyful home. Now, David's a king. He's got everything he wants. And he's starting, this is one of the beginnings of the heart of David that cracks toward not doing right. Remember, God said in Acts that David was a man after God's own heart. David is one of the most passionate, godly men on earth at this point in time. But he makes a terrible mistake right here. Pride gets to him. So notice what happens. Verse 17, they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. David prepared a tent for it. He was excited about it. Notice if you would. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Now watch this. He dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men. David made no distinction between the women and the men. Everybody else did in this day. Women were not worth much. But David valued them all the same, men and women. David's heart's right. Notice if you would, he gave each one of them a piece of cake and so on and so forth. Then verse 20, then David returned to bless his household. So he blesses all the children of Israel. He gives them food and drink and he gives them desserts. And he says, okay, all of you go home and rejoice in the Lord. So he goes home to bless his house. He's on top of the world. He just come home from church. He's met with the presence of the Lord. The Lord's in his heart. The presence of the Lord is there. Verse 20. And Michal, David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. You know, you're jumping up and down and people you acted like a guy that want to attract women. And you're my husband. But you acted shamelessly. Now, verse 21, and David said unto Michal, he had a choice right here to do the right thing. Now, I want everyone else to learn from this. Notice, if you would, Rome numeral 3. David made a big mistake in dealing with his wife, Michal. A, David was excited beyond words that he was bringing the presence of God into Jerusalem. So keep that in mind. One, he would feel closer to God when the ark was near. Now, you can be close to the Lord at home, but when you come into the Lord's house and your heart is right, there's just a sense of the presence of the Lord being here. I pray at home every day. But I come to school, come to the office, and there are sometimes I can pray in my office. And I do every day. But then there's sometimes I just, you know, I'm going to go in the auditorium, and maybe Dave's in here cleaning, and I'll wait till he leaves, or they're practicing something. I'll wait for a period to be empty, and I come in here, and I usually get right over here and sit down and just talk with the Lord. There's something about this dedicated place for him. David felt the same way because the Ark of the Covenant now was in Jerusalem. Two, He would feel better about talking to God then also. He felt in a special way about the ark, like we do about being in church on Sunday. We are not necessarily closer to God at church, but we sort of feel like we are. And we can be closer to the Lord when you come into the presence of the Lord. It's obedience to be in the Lord's house. You're obeying the Lord by being in the Lord's house tonight. You could be a lot of other places, but you're in the presence of the Lord tonight. You're in obedience tonight. And the presence of the Lord should make your heart feel better when you leave and while you're here tonight. God is proud of you for obedience. You can't get that anyplace else but here. Notice, if you would, B, David was not acting like a king, but more like a Christian that just had one of his greatest answers to prayer. Now watch this. C, his wife, Michal, saw him leaping and rejoicing before the people of the Lord, and she despised him for it. Now, to despise is to look down on, is to belittle, is to lose value for. That's why you and I never despise anyone. It's always wrong. Despising anybody is always wrong. Notice, if you would, one, under C, being the king's wife was too important to her. She valued the kingdom more than the Lord. She valued being the queen more than being in the presence of the Lord. So she despised David in her heart. Now, folks, tonight, maybe you have a big job. You have a good title. You have a corner office. But that ought not to mean as much as you to you as the Lord. Nothing you have should mean as much to you as the Lord. Well, she valued being the queen, being somebody, more than being in the presence of the Lord. Notice, if you would. Two, she sarcastically mocked David when she came home, when he came home. She mocked him. Well, wasn't the king glorious today? Notice the wording. Verse 20. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. How glorious was the king of Israel today? Wow, weren't you a thing for sad eyes, buddy? I mean, she was mocking him. Notice, if you would. Three, she even falsely accused him of being fleshly and vain before the other women of the kingdom. Now, what did we underline the passage? He was dancing before whom? The Lord. He was worshiping the Lord. His heart was in it. He wasn't doing anything with the other women. He wasn't trying to get their attention. Look at me. She thought he was. And she blasted him for it. Now notice this. Four, she was wrong in how she handled it. Not only was she wrong in what she thought, but she handled it wrong. She showed David no respect as the leader of their house. Notice, if you would, D in the outline, David took offense with his wife and the way she treated him. Now, one, he took offense at what she said. Two, he was offended at how she said it. And three, he was not going to accept her attitude. Now, I want you to understand, David was righteously incensed. She was wrong. He could tell she had no spiritual heart the way she responded. But he didn't handle it right. Now, David has the chance of a lifetime right here. I'm not sure Michal is even saved. Never says she is. But her spiritual response here to one of the greatest events in Israel's history, the bringing of the presence of God in Jerusalem, was so far off, it doesn't seem like she was really saved. May have been, we don't know, till we get to heaven. But he could have looked at his wife and said, oh, honey, I want you to understand. I'm sorry if I embarrassed you and shamed you, but I want to share something with you. This is a great day. The presence of the Lord is that ark. That's what we have on this life. Honey, I want you to value it too, even more than the kingdom. He could have maybe won Michael's heart, but he was incensed religiously. Can't believe you questioned my spiritual heart. I was rejoicing before the Lord. Notice what happens. E in the outline, then he handled her mistake all wrong. One, he belittled her father. Notice what he says in verse 21. Then David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord. Now, if you can picture it, he's raised his voice. He said, I'm telling you, woman, it was before the Lord. It wasn't before those women. He's angry and given an angry response. He's lost his temper, which chose me before thy father. Your father was nothing, and God chose me before him. What's that got to do with anything? It's just belittling her parents and her father, her lineage. You can never attack someone else's family or their person without causing an issue. It's always evil to do that. If we're to pray for those that despitefully use us, what's David supposed to do here? He doesn't. He handles it completely in the flesh. And folks, most of us in this room, if we're not very careful, we will handle an event completely in the flesh. And it will become an offense. The way you handle it either dissipates or causes an offense. She could have done this. She could have waited. Hey, David, it's good to have you. Boy, it was great to have the Ark of the Covenant now. Come here, honey. I want to give you a kiss. I was really, but I'm glad you're home. But I want to ask you about something. I just struggled a little bit. It looked like you were sort of presenting yourself to the women of the country. Is that what you were doing? Oh, no, honey. It was before the Lord. I didn't even realize anybody else was out there. I was rejoicing before the Lord. I am so thankful I have the presence of God. They both could have handled it that way. But because she came out to meet him and said, well, wasn't the king of Israel glorious today? She said the wrong thing, and she said it the wrong way. Now, David could have been forgotten that he was king. And he could remember he was the king's son. But he didn't. Hey, I want you to know something. You can't, this is thoughts. You can't treat me like that. I'm the king of Israel. I want you to know something. It was before the Lord, righteous indignation. I did it for the right reason. And number two, God chose me before he did your dad. I'm more important than your dad is. Do you see how David throws fire on all that's going on? I mean, throws gasoline on all that's going on, the fire that she started. Every one of us in this room must learn to put out the fire the second it starts. Now, the more spiritual we are, we won't start fires. We'll sit down and say, honey, could I talk to you for a minute? We sit down and talk. You talk it through. You share your heart, but you do it with a sweet spirit, with a spirit maybe that's prayed over for a good while. Folks, tonight, when you say the first thing that comes to your mind, when you let your temper get inflamed, you're always going to say and do the wrong thing. Many a marriage has been wrecked by an event like this. 1 5-minute event ruined this home. And it can be a 5-minute event, a tirade from a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister or a teacher at school. Anybody that feels like their position is challenged can respond like this: evil and wrong. Notice what happens. 2:2, he reminded her that he was the ruler over all Israel. I'm the king. God chose me to be king before even your dad. And notice this. He told her that he would, now here's where David ratchets it up. He told her that he would even be more undignified than before since he was the king. Listen to what he says. It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house, including you. That's what he's saying. All his house included her. Notice this. To appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel, therefore will I play before the Lord. Take that. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'll dance before the Lord if I want to. Now, folks, everybody in this room could say that same thing. I can do whatever I want. If I want to go shopping, I'll go shopping. If I want to go out to party, I can go party. And nobody in this room can stop them. You have to have a heart before the Lord to say, Lord, I want to please you. I want to love my husband. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong, and they never change. So, yes, anybody here can go out and get drunk tonight or go take drugs tomorrow. But you pay a price for that. I can do it. You could do it. But it never makes it right. So, everyone in this room, make up your mind like Daniel did. I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart, and nothing else is going to matter. And you know what? Then you become trusted. Absolutely. I never, ever had a... I trusted Susan so much because she had a spiritual heart. She was accountable to the Lord and made herself so. So I didn't have to worry about it. I had to do her right. But she didn't have to worry about me because I want to do her right. But I want to do him right more. So her confidence was in the Lord and my relationship and what God would do to me, not her. Plus, you carried a gun. I'm not stupid, you know? So all I'm trying to say to you is that you, anybody in this room can do the wrong thing, but you'll never have the blessing of God if you choose that. She chose it, and so did David. Now watch what he does. It gets worse. 3, basically, in the middle of the section, E3, he told her he would do whatever he wanted, and her opinion didn't matter. Now, folks, any husband and wife can say that in this room. But it's a lie. It does matter. It would displease the Lord. It would wreck your home. Everybody in this room has got the choice to do whatever you want to do. God gave us that. He gave me the freedom. It's called Christian liberty. But I don't use my Christian liberty for me. I use my Christian liberty for you. Christian liberty is the privilege to do anything that I'd like to do as long as it pleases the Lord. But the fleshly and unrighteous man said, I'm saved. I can do whatever I want to do. It doesn't matter. I've got Christian liberty. I've heard that before. But it doesn't make it right. There's always a price to be paid. David is doing that very thing. I can do anything I want to do. You can't stop me. Notice what he does. Therefore will I play before the Lord, verse 21. Verse 22, and I will be yet more vile than thus. I'll be more vile than you are. You were vile when you came out and approached me as the king of Israel when I'm dancing before the Lord. He said, I'll take it a notch up. I'll be more wicked than you are. That's what vile means. Look what he actually says. I will be yet more vile than thus, than that. Watch this. And will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. They got to honor me because I'm the king, no matter what I do. Oh, David, I can imagine God is in heaven going, no, David, no, no, David. But everybody in this room that's saved could do the same thing. You can pick any sin in Scripture and do it and still be God's child. But there's a price to be paid. Daniel is such a great example. I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to drink his wine. I'm going to worship the Lord and honor him. And that elevated him in front of every king. His personal discipline and love for the Lord. Then, folks, you have to decide if you want that discipline in your life, if you want that love for Christ in your life. David had it in verse 14 and lost it in verse 21. And so can you. 5 minutes. And you're going to find from this day forth, David begins to struggle with certain cracks in his spiritual life. When you tolerate one, they grow. Now, folks, listen. Notice this. In verse number 23, therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. I want you to notice the outline. 4, finally never slept with his wife, with her as a wife the rest of her days. So the ultimate shame she could have was to bear no children. David never made it right with her. See, a woman in this day was greatly valued. If she had multiple children, it just made the family rich. And David said, I'm going to take that away from you as punishment for coming out and shaming me. Now, I want you to learn some lessons from this story. Look at verse Roman numeral 4. We must learn to handle our disagreements in a spiritual manner. A, have a calm spirit. Don't allow an offense in your heart. Now, folks, an offense is anything you stick in your heart and you dwell on it. Peter went to Jesus and said, Lord, do I forgive my brother when he sins against me 7 times? He thought he was doing good when he said 7 times. If you have an offense, you didn't get to 1 yet. So you and I cannot let, as God's children, we cannot let offenses be in our heart. You can't let it for the Lord's sake. We have to learn that lesson. Everybody in this room, if you want to have an excellent spirit, you can never hold a grudge. You can never have an offense in your heart, not for 1 minute. Now, it feels good, but if you're thinking about things about that person, how you can pay them back, how it wasn't right, how this, how that, you've got an offense. And you've got to send it away. Notice number 2, B, be quick to apologize. Neither one of them made an apology in this passage. Neither one of them said, wait a minute, I'm sorry. If she would have gone back to David and said, David, I'm sorry. I do want to be your wife. I didn't have it right. Will you forgive me? I don't think this would ever happen. She didn't have the courage to apologize. She was too stubborn. She was too unspiritual. I'd rather die this way, have no children, then have to say I'm sorry to you. And David said, I don't care about you. I don't need you. Now, I want you to know something. It affected David's heart. When you let one offense get in your heart, more will follow. Notice, if you would, see, be quick to forgive. D, forgive anything totally. Now, I'm going to give you one more E, but I'm going to reverse it on you. I'm going to ask you to take E. Is it a blank, or is there any blanks in E? Okay. I want you to underline both blanks again, and I'm going to give you the answer. E, do everything because of your love for Christ and obedience to your Lord. Forgive out of love to Christ. Apologize because you love Christ. Always get rid of an offense. Don't let it stick because of your love for Christ. Because you're trying to be obedient. You're going to notice it's not much longer, and David has got all kinds of issues. Now, I'm going to give you this. You can just sort of write it down. I'm going to give it to you, a passage here. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 14. And I want to tell you how this offense multiplied and cost David almost everything. This is the first time you find David didn't forgive somebody. It's the first time you find David didn't ask for forgiveness. He forgave Saul, and Saul chased him for 8 years. But he wouldn't forgive Saul's daughter. Notice, if you would, this is the story of Absalom. Absalom kills Amnon for raping his sister. And David is good with it. But he wants to punish Absalom some way. And Absalom says, no way. So he runs to his grandfather's. He runs back to the king where he was a king's family member. He was a part of the kingly tribe. So he goes out and stays for 2 years. And then Joab makes a story with a woman, goes to David. David said, you're right. I haven't treated my son right. Bring him back home. Now watch this. So he brings him back home to make it right. Notice in verse number 24, and the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him see not my face. Now watch. Verse 21, the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. He admitted it. I have alienated my son. I have had a bitter heart. I have had an offense toward my son. Notice verse 24. So Joab, verse 23, arises and goes to Geshur and gets Absalom. He comes into the city, and David says, oh, wait a minute. Tell him to go to his own house. I don't want to see his face. He didn't fully forgive. Now, I want you to notice this. Look, if you would, in verse number 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. That all started with his wife, Michal. And why? Because he's a king and can. And nobody can stop him. You may be a husband and can, and nobody can stop you. You might be a wife and can, and nobody can stop you. But there's a God in heaven that will make you pay. And you'll always lose joy. Which son took his kingdom? The one he wouldn't talk to for 2 years. Tonight, learn the lesson. It started with Michal. It started with 1 5-minute conversation that went wrong. And neither one apologized. Neither one forgave. It stuck. No place in Scripture does it ever say David ever forgave Michal. And now he takes it out, the same thing on Absalom. And Absalom says, I can handle it. He waits 40 years and then takes the kingdom from David. Tonight, bitterness, an offense will ruin you. Always forgive. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. I ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe some of you need to come to the altar and pray and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me for something. Lord, I want you to forgive me. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want you to forgive someone else in my family. I love them, and I want you to help them to be able to forgive. Tonight, please, I want you to forgive tonight. I want you to be able to ask for forgiveness. Tell people you're sorry. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.